Off the Ball, GAA.
I think the manner in which Jack and his backroom team managed life post-Mead was just marvellous.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from both the Leinster and Connacht camps as they got off to contrasting starts on the opening weekend of the URC. We'll hear from the victorious England camp as they were crowned world champions at the weekend, and which Scottish second row could be on the move away from France. First two events at Leinster, and they were hammered 35-0 by the Stormers on Friday night in Cape Town to start off their United Rugby Championship campaign. It was the first time in 17 years that the province have been held scoreless in a league game, dating back to their 18-0 loss to Munster in September 2008. And today, assistant coach Rob McBride was in front of the media and he apologised for their showing in Cape Town.
You know, without doubt. So, listen, it's on me with regards to, you know, how the forwards went. You know, I apologise to everybody really. You know, we didn't, I obviously haven't prepared them well enough to stand up to the test last Friday. So, yeah, like I said, a lot of soul searching, etc. And it doesn't come much harder than the Stormers away and the Bulls away the following Saturday. So, you know, we've got an opportunity on Saturday to go again. And hopefully we'll give a better account of ourselves on Saturday.
Jamie Osborne and Cormac Foley will be unavailable for Leinster ahead of Saturday's clash with the Bulls at Loftus-Versfield. Osborne has picked up a minor hamstring injury in that defeat to the Stormers and he'll be unavailable for selection for the next few weeks. Foley suffered a calf injury and he will also be unavailable for the upcoming matches. Meanwhile, further assessment is required for Jordan Larmour, who picked up a foot injury in round one. He'll be further monitored this week before a final decision is made on availability for the second week of Leinster's opening jaunt in South Africa. Jimmy O'Brien played at fullback for Leo Cullen's side last weekend and he says that the Bulls test this forthcoming Saturday is the perfect chance to bounce back.
That's probably one of the only positives from what that was. Look, it's not fatal, it's the first game of the season, there's a lot of games to be played, but yeah, we spoke about it as a group, and what better way to kind of try and put things right than trying to get a win in Loftus and getting to play there against the Bulls at altitude. One of the toughest place to play, and but it's a great opportunity to kind of turn things around for us and put out a proper performance that we think reflects our group that we didn't put out on Friday. So we're very much looking forward to it.
And on Monday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Alan Quinlan joined Cullen Buhig and Jerry Gilroy, and the former Ireland back row said that Leinster should not be too worried just yet.
Leinster, the worst team in Ireland.
Yeah, the weakest province, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be too concerned. Well, they will be concerned, obviously, but I think it's, it was a very surprise, shock result scoreline. I suppose it was always going to be difficult to get a result there. We know how difficult it is to go to South Africa, but they'll be quite frustrated. A lot of mistakes. Discipline was very poor. Their set piece was very poor. Turned the ball over a lot. And just seemed to capitulate in that second half. I was surprised, you know. It's. But I think they got that wrong. They gave away a lot of stupid penalties that brought on a lot of pressure on themselves. So, I think the last 20, 25 minutes of that game was really poor decision making, a lot of turnovers, and just became very disjointed. It's one of those ones I would say that you just kind of throw in the bin. You obviously review it. It's not an indication, oh God, Leinster are in big trouble here and they're going to have a terrible season. I think it's an incredibly difficult start to go to South Africa and start with your first two games there. I think obviously with the Springboks playing in against Argentina, you know, they have a few players away, the Stormers, but obviously not the same number of Irish and internationals away that Leinster would have.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And to have absolutely all of our rugby coverage at your fingertips wherever you like, become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Connacht got off to a great start in their 26-15 bonus points win over Benetton in Stuart Lancaster's first game in charge of the province on Saturday evening. Josh Ioane scored Connacht's first try after 8 minutes, and that set the tone for Lancaster's side. Sean Nocton over Connacht's second try and the home side at a 12-3 lead at the break. Lewis Lina got a try for Benetton early in the second half, but they went down to 14 after a yellow card. Connacht took full advantage as Dylan Tierney-Martin and Sean Janssen dotted down to make sure of the win despite a late Italian consolation effort. Lancaster said it was a good start and he paid tribute to the previous coaches who were there before him.
I'd give it as a good start, you know. It was definitely a good start. I think, you know, what the areas we looked at, I thought, as I said from the start pre-season, I thought the foundations here were strong. You know, I think credit to Pete, to Scott Fardy, to Mark Sexton. You know, the guys have done a really good job, I think. And last year, when you looked back at the season, whilst Connacht came 13th, the margin, a lot of the defeats were 3 points here, 2 points there. But the other thing that probably I noticed was the number of tries they conceded and score two, concede two type mentality. So I think there was a defensive challenge that needed improving. There was a bit on game management and there's a bit on the psychology of dealing with the mistakes and moving on from a mistake, you know what I mean? So in terms of like the game itself, I felt defensively we improved. We showed good intent to defend, better organisation and a better mentality to defend our line at all costs. So that was an improvement. I think moving on from mistakes, you know, there was a fair bit to deal with in the first half with HIAs and a yellow card and, you know, losing Josh and Byron. You know, we had Seamus and Dylan's HIAs as well, so four HIAs. So I thought we did manage the adversity piece pretty well. Obviously, we ended up with scrum half on the wing and blah, blah, blah. So that was good. And, you know, we came out the right end of the result, you know, in terms of like, it was nip and tuck at one point, wasn't it? You know, and it came to that sort of 19-8 period and we had a defensive set. We turned them over or held them up, got the scrum, played out. And then that led ultimately to the try that cemented the bonus point. So yeah, a lot of positives. Still a lot to improve on, but good start.
Whilst back row Keane Prendergast said that they aren't too focused on the bigger picture and that it's been healthy to have new voices in the environment.
Yeah, like I wouldn't say anyone's too big picture focused with us at the moment. Like I think we're all day by day, week by week, and then naturally you'll start to feel the buzz. Everyone's pulling in the right direction at the moment. Everyone knows what we're trying to achieve. So, yeah, but we're only taking it day by day, week by week, and the main thing is just basically just staying focused on the week at hand, and that's Scarlett's this week. Fresh voices are always good in the environment, and obviously with the quality coaches that have come in and the quality coaches that are already here as well, it's just taking the place to another level, and the quality of training's gone up, the intensity of training's gone up, the intensity in meetings, the amount we're learning has naturally gone up, so it's been brilliant.
England produced a dominant performance to defeat Canada at Twickenham and win the Women's Rugby World Cup for a third time in front of a record women's rugby crowd of 81,885. The Red Roses, who had lost the previous two finals to New Zealand, laid that ghost to rest with an assured display built on their power up front and ferocious defence. The defeat by the Black Ferns in the previous World Cup final 3 years ago remains England's last loss as they extended their winning record to 33 games. And star fullback Ellie Kildon said the winning feeling is still taking time to sink in.
Said throughout the whole tournament, be where your feet are, and we're going to carry on doing that because these moments are really, really special. And we're just grateful for everyone that's been on that journey with us. So it will take some time to sink in, but I'm grateful that it is going to take that time.
Sasha Feinberg-Mgomazulu broke the South African record for points scored in a test with 37 in a bonus point 67-30 win over Argentina in the Rugby Championship. Victory in Durban took the Springboks 1 point clear at the top of the table after New Zealand beat Australia earlier on Saturday morning to briefly go top. The Springboks face Argentina at Twickenham on Saturday in their final game after New Zealand meet Australia in Perth. Fly half in Feinberg-Mgomazulu scored 3 tries, converted 8 of South Africans' 9 tries and kicked 2 penalties to beat the previous record of 35 points set by Percy Montgomery against Namibia in 2007. After the match on Saturday, Razzie Erasmus paid credit to Feinberg and Gomezuli's performance, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan, rather than a culmination of hard, consistent work done over a period of time.
Yeah, I think nobody can disagree of that. It was brilliant on a day, and that's what we always try to say, you know, if you just put somebody in there consistently and expect him just to be world-class, it doesn't just happen over time. So you grow a little bit against New Zealand, you go a little bit against Australia, and then you grow against Wales or whatever. And I think he's only on 11 caps or something like that now. So, but I thought Dukes helped him a hell of a lot, and Damien Willems played well, and Marnie came on. So there was a lot of guys that played well. I think obviously none of us can disagree that Sasha was man of the match, and he did incredible things on the field. But if you think the lead up to where he was today, there was many mishaps and bad kicking. I'm not talking in this game, I'm meaning other games that he played. And that's just, I think sometimes we must give guys chance to build their reputation, to build their skill set at test match level. And he's definitely doing that. And there's a hell of a lot of people helping him, but you know, Marnie, Damien, Tony, everybody. So Andre, nobody can argue that was really good.
Meanwhile, World Cup winner Lou de Jager has been recalled to the South African squad in place of Franco Moster for Saturday's key rugby championship match against Argentina on Saturday. Earlier on Saturday morning, New Zealand held off a Wallaby fight back to secure a 33-24 victory over Australia and extend their grip on the Bledisloe Cup for a 23rd year. The All Blacks bounced back from their record defeat against South Africa last weekend as a late Cam Royguard try ensured they returned the trophy and stretched their unbeaten record at Auckland's Eden Park to 52 matches. Wallabies head coach Joe Schmidt was disappointed as he felt his side were about to perform another comeback win.
It felt a little bit like Cape Town, to be honest, where you know, we got behind, fought our way back, had a kick to go ahead with 10 to go. This time we scored a try to be two down with, you know, into that last 10 minutes. You know then you're in the mix. It's disappointing for sure.
Positive for Australia is that Will Skelton will return for Saturday's match in Perth. He missed their home doubleheader against Argentina because of club commitments with La Rochelle in France and the loss at Eden Park on Saturday. But he is back for Saturday's sold-out match at Perth Stadium, along with fellow power forward Rob Valentini. Veteran scrum half Nick White has also rejoined Joe Schmidt's squad after Tate McDermott was ruled out with a hamstring injury, marking his second comeback from retirement. And finally today, Scotland's Johnny Gray is being touted by several Gallagher Premiership clubs, with his contract at top 14 outfit Bordeaux Beg due to run out at the end of the season. The 31-year-old, who came off the bench in the top 14 final defeat to Toulouse last season, has appeared in three games that they've played so far this year. According to a report in Midi Olympique, he is set to meet with Bordeaux bosses in the near future to discuss their plans for next season, but indications suggest he is likely to head towards the exit door. Gray, who started his career with an 8-year stint at Glasgow Warriors, then moved on to Exeter Chiefs for another 4 years before linking up with Bordeaux at the start of last season to strengthen their second row. He has proved that he is fully recovered from the damage to his kneecap that he suffered in the 2023 Champions Cup semi-final loss to La Rochelle, which caused him to spend 15 months on the sidelines. Scotland boss Gregor Townsend recalled him to his squad in January after 2 years in the international wilderness, playing in 4 of the 5 Six Nations games and taking his tally of caps to 81. Gray has enjoyed success wherever he's gone throughout his career, winning the Pro 12 final with Glasgow in 2015. He added a Champions Cup and Premiership double in his first full season at the Chiefs. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. Cameron Hill will be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.